Sanhedrin Perek Vav Mishnah Hey 6:5, a short Mishnah here. In the previous Mishnah, we had quoted from the Pasuk, Ki Kilas Elokim Talui, which meant that it's a curse to Hashem to have this person dangling. Here, we're going to have a separate sort of take on that Pasuk, okay? Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says, B'shah Sha'adam Mitzta'er, when a person, a human being, is suffering, which of course applies to the previous Mishnah story of the person that has been stoned, that's of course terrible suffering. But it doesn't mean just that, I guess, anytime a person suffers. So, Shechina, Mahaloshno Meres. What does the Shechina have to say, so to speak? I mean, what does Hashem have to say in response to a human suffering? Kiviyachol. It's as if it says, Kiviyachol is used as an expression to say, like, as it were, if it were possible, because of course Hashem actually has no body and no way to behave in any way or think any way or act any way like a person. So this is just a total anthropomorphism that's done to help people understand. So the Mishnah says, it's not literal, but so to speak, if it could be said something so you make sense of it, it's as if Hashem says, or the Shekhinah says, Kaleini Meroshi Kaleini Mizroi. Now Kaleini, from the word like the previous word, kind of previous from the of kill us, but here it's like a portmanteau. It's two words smushed together, which is according to Abai, kal ani, I have no lightness, and even according to Rav in the Gemara, which says kal ani, like I'm light. It's a euphemism for I'm heavy. In either way, the point is there's a reference like a weightiness, a heaviness. So the point is, kal ani meroshi, I have like a heavy head, if you will, and kal ani meroshi, and I have a heavy arm as well. So the picture it's painting is kind of like, you know, a person in great despair. You can imagine a person who's suffering intensely, kind of like we have when we do in Nefilas Apayim, in Shul, the arm, head on the arm, both, you know, can't hold your head up because you've got so much misery and grief, and that's what's happening to Shem as well, so to speak, okay? Now, besides that picture, the Marsha just speaks out here that these, of course, the places where one puts his head tefillin and his arm tefillin, because as the Gemara Bracha says, that Hashem, so to speak, wears tefillin as well. And the tefillin, of course, represent the connection of head and heart to Hashem and reciprocal connection of Hashem to us. So, of course, in such a terrible scenario, the connection essentially feels like it's broken, and therefore there's a great deal of suffering, not just on the person's part, but also on Hashem's part. Now, the Mishnah goes on to say, Im Kain, Hamakim mitzar al damam shel rishayim had shenishpach. Now, if it's the case that when it comes to someone who's a rasha, whose blood is being spilled because of his wickedness, and yet still, you know, Hashem is mitzar, Hashem suffers for that. So kol v'chomer al damam shel tzadikim. All the more so when a righteous person suffers, you know, for no good reason, so to speak, he's innocent and yet he suffers. Hashem grieves and suffers over that the righteous person is suffering as well. Velozu Bilvad, not only that, no, stop, okay, period. That's thought one of the mission. Now, the mission is going to go back now and talk about what we ended up in the previous mission, talking about the requirement to not leave the dead carcass, the dead corpse unburied. So, it says, not Lozu Bilvad, not just someone who is executed by Bezdin, that you have this Isra Velo Sala Nivlaso Ala Eitz, to not leave them lying around unburied. Ela Kol Hamelin Esmeso, anybody who lets his relative stay overnight unburied, over belos aser. He's over the lav of the requirement to bury someone. So it's a lav and an aser. But that's limited. Hel ino lechvodo, if the reason why he was left unburied is for the honor of the deceased, for example, lahavi lo aron v'tachrichem, in order to arrange bringing him a proper like coffin or burial shrouds. So that's for his honor, so you're not over the lav. The idea being the whole point of the Isra leaving him dangling was because it was a disgrace to him, so that's the crime. But if you're not, the person not being disgraced, he's being honored, so to speak, so then it's permitted. And the Tiferet Yisrael speaks out, the more common case nowadays, which is the amount of time it takes, you know, to gather the people who want to come to be part of the funeral, certainly the relatives, so we delay the burial. So in such a case, eino over a lav, then the delay of the burial is not considered to be a violation of the the prohibition and the obligation of Tikkun of burying them promptly. Worth noting, of course, I'm sure you're aware, Jewish burials happen very promptly. In Yerushalayim, they're especially strict, and that's based not just on custom of Jerusalem, but even a braisa in the Gemara, that in Jerusalem they didn't let people leave, stay overnight, kind of no matter what. Okay? Now, the Mishnah goes on now to talk about people who were executed by the Beis Din. The lo hayu kovernoso. They didn't bury the executed person bekivros avosav, in the burial plot of his ancestral burial plot with the rest of his relatives, because you're not supposed to bury a Rasha next to a tzaddik, and the person who's been convicted here has the name Rasha. Now, that is true, even if, as we see from our Mishnah here, even if he did tshuva before he died, and even if he did his vidui, and even if he was executed, and even if, you know, that's all done, he's still called a Rasha. But as the Mishnah will go on to say, look, implicitly in the next Mishnah, really, after his body is decomposed, he loses that name. We'll see that in a moment. But back over here, we're saying that we're not allowed to bury the wicked with the non-wicked, and therefore we can't bury him yet, anyways. We'll see in the next Mishnah, with his family burial plot. Ella, rather, shnei bate kavaras hayu masukan lebezden. There were two separate burial areas that were set up by the Bezden. Echel neheragin v'la nechenakin, for those who were beheaded and strangled. V'echad, and the second one, le niskalin v'le nisrafin, for those who were stoned and burned. Literal translations. The idea being that there are four misos bezdin, as we'll see in the next perek, but there are two that are more severe and two that are less severe. The two that are more severe for the worst crimes, that's the skila and the sreifa, those people are extra bad, so they have their own burial area, and the other two died through chenek and hereg, they're the lesser bad, so they have their own separate burial plot. So you shouldn't bury the bad with the worst, if you will. Now, if you'll ask, well, obviously, if you want to differentiate between levels of bad, so why don't you make four burial plots, not just two? The answer is that's really a traditional halacha, which we've seen. We don't have four, we just have two, so that's what we have over here.